to glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Glow in the Dark Radio Podcast. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. You can find me online at MikeLuoma.com, MikeLuoma.com, or GlowInTheDarkRadio.com. There's also Facebook and Twitter, AfterTheIr.com/MikeLuoma, Mike Luoma. And our Glow in the Dark Radio Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. Lots of places online. I've got a mailing list, a newsletter I send out. I'm trying to come up with a clever title for it. Don't have one yet, but we'll see. Soon, someday. For now, it's just the Glow in the Dark Radio newsletter, I guess. I've tried a couple things over the years and nothing that really stuck. Nothing I really liked for a while. I am going to send out a quick one, probably in the next week or so, because I'll be at Aresia next week. More about that in the news. But yeah, when you sign up for the mailing list, you get an exclusive PDF. It's the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. It has previews of stuff that still aren't out. Some things that you can't find anywhere, or that are hard to find. It's all my stuff, about rarities and just things I think if you're a fan of my writing and what I put out there, you're going to like. And you get it when you sign up for the mailing list. I'm recording today in Burlington, Vermont. It was -7 with a wind chill of -23 when I got up this morning, about 8:30 or so. So I've been trying to stay warm. Went out for a little while today, like half an hour. Just wanted to be sure my car would start and run for a bit and shoveled some of the driveway where we'd gotten some snow and shoveled off the front steps. And luckily, there wasn't too much on the ground. A lot had been packed down, so there wasn't much I could do. And a lot had been blown away because the wind's just been blowing constantly. That's why the wind chills are so low. It's like a 14 or 15 mile an hour wind out there with gusts. Fun! Yeah, a couple of different forecasts I've seen for the overnight tonight talking about it being like -15, wind chills could be down near -40. As I say, Burlington, Vermont. Of course, we're heading for outer space on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. As usual, on this science fiction podcast. Of course, space is pretty damn cold, too. But we'll be safe and warm inside of Sirius Central for most of this episode. Although, as we begin, Alibi Jones is still exiled to the remote backwater world of Sloan. But the Greater Todd just announced they were taking over, annexing, the Dakor space, their planet Hur, and their colonies. That should vindicate Alibi Jones, who cited aggression by the Greater Ta as the reason for his failure to establish good relations with the aquatic race, the Keeklik. The failure that gave his antagonistic supervisor Brandywine an excuse to demote him, take away his ship, and send him out to Sloan. That's chapter 16 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Hur. Opening with an announcement by the Greater Ta. It's on the way on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little bit of news. You can join me at Aresia in Boston next weekend. That's the big science fiction convention that takes place Martin Luther King weekend in Boston every year. I'm only on one panel this year. I'm going to be on the Self-Publishing 101 panel, Become an Authorpreneur. That's on Sunday night at 8:30, goes till about 9:45. You can find out more about the convention at aresia.org, A-R-I-S-I-A, aresia.org. Aresia runs Friday the 12th through Monday the 15th. And that's at the Westin Boston Waterfront. Westin Boston Waterfront, 425 Summer Street in Boston. Boston, Mass. 02210. Or just go to arisia.org, A-R-I-S-I-A.org. They call it New England's largest, most diverse sci-fi and fantasy convention. It's a fan-run convention. And that's, you know, Friday afternoon through Monday the 15th, MLK Day. And I'll be there Sunday night for the self-publishing panel at 8:30. In other book news, the new issue of Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel, is on the way. Issue 4 of 4, completing the miniseries. That's the digital release coming Wednesday, January 17th, a week from this coming Wednesday. That'll be at Comixology and Drive-Thru Comics. So you'll now be able to read the whole adaptation of the first novel in the Vatican Assassin trilogy in glorious full color, thanks to Juan Carlos Quatordio's work, Christian Navarro on the original artwork, my work on the adaptation, and the lettering. And I will admit I have been tweaking the lettering on this new version, too. Also in comic book news, Good Samaritan Unto Dust 2 and the combined 1 and 2 issue. I'm going to put them together as a combined issue because it's only a 2-issue miniseries. So issue 2 and a combo issue will come out together on the same day, Ash Wednesday, February 14th. It's also Valentine's Day, but, you know, Good Samaritan, unto dust. He says, "Remember, man, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return," as he turns perps into ash. And that's what they say on Ash Wednesday when they put the ash on the foreheads of Roman Catholics. They say, "Remember, man, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return." Way back when, in my distant past, in high school, when I went to Catholic high school, I was raised Roman Catholic. I was a Eucharistic minister. I used to give out communion at Mass and ashes on Ash Wednesday. So it was really weird. I would have a little bowl of ashes and you'd put them on the forehead of people and you would say, "Remember, man, that you are dust and unto dust you shall return." There were some other ones you could say too, but I couldn't remember them. So I'd always say that one. And it was a little bit creepy when it was like old ladies and stuff coming up to me as, you know, a teenager doing this. "Hey, you're going to die." Sorry. A little irreverent. Maybe a lot irreverent, but yeah. Just makes sense to have Good Samaritan Unto Dust come out on Ash Wednesday. And then the next month, in March, the full-length, full-color Vatican Assassin graphic novel will finally come out. All together in print and digitally. So you'll be able to get it in print on demand through indieplanet.com. It's indie with a Y for that. Indieplanet.com. They have it digitally too, or they will. And you'll be able to get it digitally at Comixology and Drive-Thru Comics. So something new from Glow in the Dark Radio Comics. Each month of the first quarter, January, February, and March. Feels good to be getting stuff out there. Especially Good Samaritan, that's been in the works a long time. But yeah, finally was able to get some time from Ken to finish the color, and I've been working on the lettering. It's not like it was just, you know, one thing needed to be done. There were a couple things that were still yet to be finished. And it's not done yet, but it's almost done. It's coming into the home stretch. But yeah, again, good to be getting all this stuff out. So that's it for news, for book news and otherwise. Up next, I've got Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hey guys, I'm Ray Belli, the host of Words for Granted, a brand new podcast that looks at how words change over time. Have you ever wondered where words come from or why they mean what they mean? Yeah? Well, me too. In fact, I think about these things all the time, and that's why I've created Words for Granted. It's kind of like an ongoing greatest hits compilation of the most fascinating word evolutions in the English language. Did you know that villain once meant farm worker, or that bead once meant prayer? The bottom line is, if you're a word nerd, let's be friends. You can find out more about the show at wordsforgranted.com and follow Words for Granted on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I hope you tune in to the next show.
Now, here's Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio.
The disorder left after the death of the Eldred offends the Greater Ta. We have been working among the central planets, restoring order. We are now extending that order to all the known planets. The Greater Ta does not have ambitions. We do not want power. We merely wish for order. And so we absorb her and the Dakor into the order of the Greater Ta.
The Sota spokesbeing finishes. The announcement regarding the Greater Ta's annexation of her ends. Alibi's Aunt Anita comes back on the view screen.
Seems the Greater Ta are as incapable of negotiations and as inflexible as the Tek-Ta were,
Anita says to Alibi across the light years. She called on his wand with good news. She's gotten his assignment on Sloan cut short. Given the new aggression of the Greater Ta, she was able to argue that his skills had been vindicated and that his abilities were required back in the Solar Alliance. Talking to the Tek-Ta was pointless, Alibi agrees, and the Greater Ta are getting to be a bit much to take. Alibi shakes his head. The Tek-Ta were chaotic and primitive, Alibi says. How could we know they were the inbred hillbillies of the Ta? The Greater Ta are much more dangerous, smarter, lords of order, not chaos.
Yes, as they are all too willing to point out,
Anita concurs.
Well, I do look forward to seeing you, Alibi. Your transportation is all set. I've sent you the details on a sub-channel. I told that Brandywine woman you were temporarily assigned here to me. She didn't like that, but I told her I outranked her.
Oh, great, Alibi says. She hates me because of who I am. You're just making it worse.
Well, if she discriminates against you because of me, I can make things worse for her,
Anita says, with a touch of venom in her voice.
If she thinks she needs to tip the scales against you out of some perceived favoritism? Ooh, that makes me so mad. Well, maybe the world should work the way she thinks it does. I'd hate to disappoint her.
What do you mean? Alibi wonders.
She sent you out there to Sloan, and then she was absolutely dreadful to me. Maybe she'd enjoy an assignment out there.
You wouldn't.
Oh, I would,
Anita says. You can do that?
I can do that.
You wouldn't do that.
I would.
I love you, Aunt Anita, Alibi proclaims with a little extra added over-enthusiasm.
See you soon, Alibi,
she replies, signing off. Remind me not to cross Aunt Anita. Alibi laughs when he sees whose ship he's been booked on for the trip back to Ceres Central. Hope he doesn't hold a grudge. Hello, Brady Thomas, Alibi greets the man as he approaches. I thought it might be you, kid, Thomas says. Not to worry. You're a paying passenger. And seem to be connected enough to have folks get me back my good standing with the SA. So, come on board. We'll head back to the Sol system. Brady Thomas invites Alibi to sit on the bridge in the empty co-pilot seat. As he sits and watches the lighted controls in front of him, Alibi misses flying his cruiser. Well, not his cruiser anymore. Maybe Aunt Anita can help me get it back. It's a relatively fast trip back to Ceres. As always, it takes longer to negotiate the asteroids between the transspace point and Ceres than it does to make the jump. Thomas spots Alibi hungrily eyeing the controls as they travel through the asteroids.
You fly, don't you, Jones? Used to have a cruiser, didn't you?
Yeah, Alibi responds. The safe took it away. I haven't flown for a couple of months.
You want to try my girl here for a little while?
Really? You'd let me do that?
Sure,
Brady says. He laughs a sympathetic laugh.
I know that look I saw on your face. Go ahead. There are duplicate controls right there in front of you.
Alibi enjoys dodging the rocks as he flies the ship in towards the largest of the asteroids. Brady Thomas takes the controls back as they near Ceres Central, so he can fly them in on final approach. Alibi calls his aunt
as Thomas docks the ship.
Alibi? Good. I've got a surprise for you. A surprise guest. Meet me in my office soon as you can,
she tells him, with an air of mystery in her tone. When Alibi walks into his aunt's office, he cannot believe his eyes.
Kit?
The docteur stands next to his aunt's desk. Kit! Alibi can't help himself. Oh my God, Kit! I'm so glad you... As the docteur turns to speak to him, Alibi can see that it really isn't Kit. His eyes and wishful thinking played tricks on his perception.
I am sorry. I am not Kit, the docteur interrupts with the news.
No, I am sorry, Sir Docteur, Alibi says. You look a lot like a friend of mine.
Yes, Kit, as you call him, is my brother, the docteur says. You and I met at his, ceremony. I am Catrafundelgrundler, Alibi Jones.
Oh, you're Cat, Alibi remembers.
Yes, if you must, the docteur purrs darkly. You have trouble telling docteur apart, Alibi Jones. I have heard stories of how you confused my father with his brother during the first negotiations you oversaw with our people and the Flays.
I'm sorry again, Catrafundelgrundler, Alibi attempts to say the docteur's full name. My mind played tricks on me. I was hoping it was Kit, so at first I thought you were him. You do not look alike. My apologies. As for those negotiations, that was a long time ago. I was inexperienced. I'm surprised your father and uncle still talk about it.
They did not speak of it at all for a long time, Kat says. But once the shame was taken away, Rakar and my uncle were able to laugh about it and tell the stories.
There never should have been any shame, Alibi responds with some anger and reflexive defensiveness. The Flays altered the terms of the agreement after the fact. They had no right to do that.
As we all know now, Alibi Jones, you bear no shame for that. And by returning the Sunrise of Her, you have made an attempt to make up for any, further shame you have accrued.
The docteur leaves talk of the tragic wedding ceremony unspoken. Anita Capituna clears her throat.
Hello, Alibi. Good to see you.
Hello, Aunt Anita, Alibi says and smiles. So, Cat here is your big surprise, huh?
Well, yes, although he comes bearing some terrible news, she tells him.
She turns to Cat and nods at him, indicating he should go on and tell Alibi his story.
My father is in negotiations with the Greater Ta, Cat tells Alibi. Trying to preserve what he can of our government hierarchy under their order. Unfortunately, my brother Kit lost his temper. Quite unseemly for a docteur. He blasted his way out of her spaceport and has been labeled renegade and fugitive by the Greater Ta. Disordered, they call him. We fear he may finally be going after Lavalur. The Ta say you humans have been a bad influence upon him. They blame his behavior on his interactions with you humans. You most especially, Alibi Jones.
Oh, come on! Alibi can't help himself. Cat pauses.
Alibi?
Anita says, with some edge. Go on, Cat.
Do not take offense, Alibi Jones. We know that is not the case. Kit has always been, impetuous and proud. This is not the first time he has gone rogue.
No? Alibi asks.
No. That is why you met him in a Tektar cell, Alibi Jones. Did you not know this?
No. Kit never wanted to talk about that, Alibi explains.
He had decided to visit Tektikarn as an independent envoy for the docteur, Cat continues. Not unheard of among non-heir sons of the diplomatic families. There is a need to prove themselves, you see. They often take on impossible assignments. With our father disgraced, he decided he would go for the Darkur diplomatic family's ultimate treasure, a treaty with the Tekta, a race known for their inability to negotiate. It, did not go well.
Yeah, I know the ending of that story, Alibi cracks.
Has it ended? Kat asks. I see this as a continuation. More of Kit's foolishness. This is why I do not blame you humans for his current actions.
What brings you here then, Kat? Alibi asks.
Father sent me to see if I could track down my brother. He would have come himself, if he could. I was hoping to find that Kit had come this way. Sadly, he has not. I have been unable to discover his trail. It seems I must go to this planet Kismet, Kit has spoken of, the home of Lavalur.
I'd offer to go with you, but I'm not welcome there, Alibi tells Kat. Come to think of it, Kit is persona non grata there, too.
He has publicly threatened to kill Lavalur, Kat admits.
Some people just need killing, Alibi agrees. Not helpful, Alibi, Anita interjects, with a glare over at Alibi.
Well,
Kat begins to move towards the door.
I must ask you to excuse me. My search continues. It was a pleasure to meet you again, Alibi Jones, the Catman says. And thank you once again, Prime Representative Emeritus Capituna.
Kat leaves Alibi alone with his aunt in her office. That can't be good, Alibi says to his aunt. No, she agrees. I heard pretty much the same thing from him before you arrived. He has his story down. What do you mean? Do you think he's lying? I'm not sure, Anita says. Something isn't right here, Alibi. And the way he mentioned his father would have come, if he could, why can't he? Good question, Alibi says. I didn't notice that. Anita chuckles. What's so funny? Alibi asks. That woman Brandywine demanded that I have an assignment for you, Anita tells him. She said I couldn't call you back from that Flay's outpost unless I had something new for you to do. Now, it turns out that I do. You do? I do. You are going to be my special envoy to Rakar, she states matter-of-factly. What? Alibi is stunned. I don't think they want me back there. I'm sure the Greater Ta won't appreciate my presence. Rakar might be a little less hostile. Rakar may want our help, Anita says. He might even be glad to see you. And I'd be glad to get under the scaly skin of the Greater Ta for a change. How soon should I leave? Alibi asks. How soon is now? But I don't have a ship.
Maybe I can get back my cruiser.
How did you get here? On that ship you booked me on. Guy with his own ship, a bounty hunter, I think. See if he's still here. Maybe he can give you a ride to her. I'll pay him a little extra to do it. If he asks for it, don't go and offer it to him first. Yes, Aunt Anita, Alibi drones in a sing-song voice. Alibi, don't get cute with me, young man. Now is not the time. Fine, Alibi says past a pout. Somehow his aunt can always make him feel like a 10-year-old kid again. Ali, come here, his aunt calls him over to her. She waits, arms open, and gathers him in a hug when he reaches her. He squeezes her back. She is not usually very emotional, but seems unusually worked up. She eases her grasp and pulls back, but keeps a hand on each of Alibi's shoulders instead of letting him go. She looks up to look him in the eye as she continues. I have a bad feeling her won't be your last stop on this trip, she tells him. I can see where all this is leading. Katie is already there. Now it sounds like Kit is, too. You think Kit is? You think I'm going to Kismet? Alibi asks his aunt, surprised. I'm not planning to. Don't even want to. Anita drops her arms as she laughs at Alibi. Ha ha! You know you're lying, Ali, she rebukes him. I know you've wanted to go ever since Lavalur took Katie. Don't lie to me. It's why I sent you off to look for the sunrise of her, trying to distract you. Didn't think you'd find it so quickly.
Oh, really? Alibi glares at his aunt in mock anger with a smile on his face.
Alibi? Listen.
Anita's tone of voice grows dark and serious.
There are truly evil people in this universe. Most of the time, society finds ways to protect the rest of us from those sick ones. We have laws and jails, and we put those evildoers away when we can. Unfortunately, because we're in a free society, that is usually only possible after they've done something horrible, something evil. But most of the time, when they do show themselves for the evil bastards they are, we have remedies. That's one of the things that we get right, I think. However, there are some people who do evil things, get caught doing them, yet still find ways to get away. René Lavallure is one of those people, Alibi. He is an evil, evil man. He left the Solar Alliance to avoid our laws, to avoid punishment for truly despicable behavior. He found a way to get beyond our reach, beyond the law. We know he's got scientists working on illegal human modifications. They're experimenting on humans in alternate atmospheres and with cyborg implants. And not all the victims are willing participants in the experimentation. He sends expeditions to dead Eldred worlds, searching for artifacts and objects of power left behind by the ancient enemy, without regard for the toxins and hazards, the booby traps we all know guard those planets. His casinos and hotels are staffed by veritable slave labor and indentured servants, sometimes in generational debt to him and his bank. It's barbaric. I know. I know all this, Aunt Anita, Alibi responds, trying to reassure her. Knowing it, and knowing what it means, are two different things, she cautions him. It means he won't come into the Solar Alliance. He can't. His people will, as we've seen, but he cannot. However, she pauses for emphasis. If you go to Kismet, you are on his territory, in his lair, she says, and she spits out the last word to dramatic effect. I can do nothing for you there, Alibi. Knowing you may be going there, I feel the most helpless and ineffective that I can feel, she confesses.
Alibi reaches out to grab his aunt in another hug. She returns his grasp and pats his back. If I end up going to Kismet, if I have to go, I'll be careful, he tells her over her shoulder. I'll wear some kind of disguise. There's no way I'd show up there looking like myself. I'll be careful, Aunt Anita. I promise, he says, again trying to reassure her. Oh, Alibi, she sighs. She lets him go but holds him in her gaze as she backs away from him. I remember when you were a reckless little boy. Now, I hope you can be as dangerous a grown man. I can be dangerous, Alibi insists, when I have to be. He puffs up his chest, a natural biological response to the challenge. Good, Anita says. She gathers herself together. Well, you should get going, she says, in a softer voice. Let me know what's happening. Like you need me to keep you informed, Alibi says.
That was Chapter 16 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio. Is Alibi Jones really going to end up on Kismet? His Aunt Anita seems to think so. And she is a woman who knows things. We'll travel with Alibi to her in Chapter 17 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Lots of fun voices in that chapter. Aunt Anita getting a little officious at times. She gets, you know, a certain sound in her voice when she does that, but also excited and caring. She gets kind of motherly and, oh, with, you know, Alibi. It was a lot of, you know, different moods from Anita to portray, and that's fun. And doing Cat, another dark core, very reserved here, or, you know.
but not quite the sweaty, stinky meat of, of Kit. That's the phrase I used to get into Kit mind. It's more, you are an idiot, sort of, for Kat, I guess. There was also the Greater Ta announcement to open things up. Fun coming up with the right mix of alterations and sound effects to make it sound ominous and alien, but still intelligible. You know, that's important. Got to be able to understand what they're saying. I hope you could. And with Alibi heading to her, you know that the next chapter is going to feature the gruff, growly voices of the Darkur. Yeah, so I hope you'll join me for the next episode. Like I was mentioning in the news, I'll be at Aresia in Boston next weekend. So there might not be a podcast episode next weekend. We'll see. Gotta see how things work out. With only the one panel Sunday evening, I don't think I'm going to actually be at the con for too long. So there may be time to get an episode put together. We'll see. But if you don't see one next week, you'll know why. I'll be at Aresia. Aresia in Boston takes place all next weekend, Friday through Monday. I'll be there Sunday night at 8:30 p.m. for the one panel I'm on. Self-publishing 101, something I know a little bit about. If you want to find out more about the convention, just go to Aresia.org, Aresia.org. It's at the Westin Boston waterfront. And they call themselves New England's largest, most diverse sci-fi and fantasy convention. And it really is. It's an amazing thing. So I'll be there next weekend, next Sunday night. The Wednesday after that, we'll have issue 4 of 4 of Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel in full color, coming out at Comixology and Drive-Thru Comics, the digital release. And we've announced that Good Samaritan Unto Dust number 2 will be out on Ash Wednesday, Valentine's Day too, February 14th, and the Vatican Assassin graphic novel, the full length, all put together in print and digitally, will be coming out in mid-March, March 14th. That'll be print on demand through IndiePlanet.com, digitally there too, and digitally at Comixology and Drive-Thru Comics. Just a little recap of the news before I wrap things up here. That is all for this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.